Moncrief on News Talk.
If you've been watching Clarkson's Farm, you'll be one among millions, and you'll also be aware that in the first episode of the new series, he loses a number of livestock on the farm due to illness. It's both emotionally wrenching and financially damaging, but it is a reality of a farmer's life. Hannah Quinn Mulligan is a farmer. Afternoon, Hannah.
Afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Do farmers sometimes think, when they're thinking about livestock, I won't have that kind of livestock because they're a bit more frail and more inclined to die and then more inclined to the kind of hardier animals?
Has someone told you about my hatred of sheep? is that where this is going?
Yeah.
I have cows, I have hens, I have ducks. I will not rule out any farm animal except sheep, who I feel like just want to die on purpose, which is a horrible thing to say about any animal. But they really are useless and they have an absolute death wish. And it's not just me saying this. Sheep farmers will tell you this. They just get stuck in anything, whether in a field or outside the field. And if they turn themselves upside down, they can't get themselves back up again. Mm. So they could be in the middle of the field kicking their little hooves into the air and they can't get back up again, and a bird will come down and peck out its sensitive areas in its face.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Don't have sheep. That's my message here.
And it's a weird thing that sheep tend to be kept on kind of hilly ground where they're more inclined to fall down.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, so back to the more reliable, proper livestock.
Yes.
Is illness an issue? Is that something you have to kind of think about a lot?
There is a very negative phrase in farming, in that where you'll have livestock, you'll have dead stock. And for every animal that's on my farm, not only am I like responsible for its well-being and its life, but also in case it dies as well, whether that's from illness or whether from old age or perhaps maybe it's in pain as well. So yes, illness does happen. I mean, particularly at certain times of year, say if you've got young animals, say like any kind of young animal, even a young child, they're more likely to get colds. And the issue is, if you have lots of calves, say in one shed, for example, like if they're all going to school together, if one gets a cold, they'll all get a cold. That's a bit more severe if it's pneumonia or if it's scour or something like that. And so, yeah, certain times of year definitely bring more illness and more disease.
Okay, so that would be winter time when they're all kind of, they tend to be more cooped up together.
Spring, yeah, springtime. And if it's cold and it's miserable as well, which they don't like either.
Yeah. And so what can you do to mitigate against all that?
Well, there's like lots of things you can do, like lots of sensible things that we'd all be thinking of anyway, just like ventilation, you know, whether it's in a house or a shed or anything like that. And vaccination. I always vaccinate all of my calves against pneumonia. It's one of the one vaccines I really use on the farm. And there's plenty of other vaccines that you can get and farmers do get, say, for salmonella, all kinds of things. And then just good management, keeping a watchful eye on them, definitely around springtime when they're calving, you know, like any woman giving birth, any cow giving birth, you know, it could lead to infection. And I don't mean to equate it humans and cows constantly, but, you know, a lot of the things that we think of in regards to our own illnesses can apply to animals as well.
Yeah. God. And is it when you see a cow or any animal is poorly, do you have to kind of isolate them immediately to make sure whatever it is they have doesn't spread to everybody else?
It depends whether it's something infectious or whether it's just something sore. Like, to be honest, sometimes it's easier to deal with something like pneumonia or scour because you can treat it with antibiotics than with something, say, like cancer. Like, for example, we had a cow that we were very fond of and she got eye cancer and her eye started crusting over and scabbing over and she had to be sent away. You know, sent away being a euphemism for
yes.
death there. But
usually townies say we sent the animal to live on a farm.
Just in case. Well, you know, my friends have this joke that my farm is the farm of their childhood where their parents sent animals away. Because like a lot of the time I will end up with friends' dogs or cats or things like that. We had the rescue. We have the rescue dog we have currently. He actually chased sheep back in Galway. And because I don't have any sheep, I got landed with them here. He's very happy and we're very happy together in our loathing of sheep and he doesn't have any to chase.
Okay, so, yeah. And so a dog wouldn't bother a hen then, would he?
You have to keep an eye on them. You have to train them. Now, this is funny because, you know, talking about animals, and sometimes you have to put animals down, you know, for their own well-being. I would draw a line at something like, was it Kristi Noem, the vice president, US candidate, talking about putting her puppy down.
Yeah.
You know, I would, as a farmer, I would not do that myself. You know, there is an emotional feeling that you have towards animal as well. And I would want it done in a very humane way. You know, if I had a dog in pain or a dog that was dangerous, I would take it to a vet like anyone else. And the same way, if I had a cow in pain, I would call the licensed person who puts those animals down or the vet. You know, I would not be doing it myself. I wouldn't be able to emotionally do it myself.
Yeah. And I suppose with experience, Hannah, would you know if you get up in the morning and a cow had been a bit off the day before, but now was obviously seriously ill. You probably know, if even when you're calling the vet, how this might end up, that the vet might have to, you know, take them out of their misery kind of thing.
You might, but you never stop trying. And that's one of the exhausting things. I had a cow around Christmas time and she was so poorly and she went off her feed and she went off everything. And in the end, and it was around Christmas, which is meant to be a really nice time of year, I was getting a syringe and putting electrolytes down her throat very gently with a syringe. She wasn't able to stand. And at the end, it was the vet who called me. He's like, look, Hannah, you have to stop now. You know, she's not going to improve. And we found out later that she had kind of a rare form of cancer that was affecting her liver. But I know myself as a farmer, a lot of farmers out there, you know, we don't stop trying. You know,
yeah.
We feel very responsible for these animals.
Yeah. Now, some people listening might go, well, given that a lot of the animals in your farm, we all know where they're going to end up, you know, why would it emotionally engage you if an animal dies?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's such a heartless question. I know where you're coming from. But it's funny, I was speaking earlier to your research about this, about veganism. And I think, funnily enough, there are some similar lines of thinking with vegans and farmers in terms of care for animals, which might sound strange. But I would, you know, I would really defend the welfare of my animals and try my utmost to do the very best for them and care for them. But then at the end of the day, I kind of have to believe in the system as well, that they are, you know, their rights don't, they have a right to good welfare and good management, but I don't believe they have the exact same rights as human beings. So I think if we take care of them and are mindful of them and really, really think about them and their well-being, then as long as they have a humane death, that's fine. I wouldn't, there are other practices, particularly religious practices, that would maybe bleed animals to death, and I wouldn't hold with that.
Yeah. Hannah, thanks a million as ever for talking to us. Hannah Quinn Mulligan there. You are listening to the Moncrief Show.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.